See, I got you, doll, didn't I?
The question is, what are those pills?
Actually, I can rep those weights 30 times, and there is such a pill, but I didn't get it from a Haitian woman. But I was just illustrating the correctness that that people have lost the art of storytelling.
Well, you just kept me riveted there whenever you were telling me that. And it's sort of what John Carlton says. If you were to sell something, don't think about selling it in a business room or something. Think about it, meeting your friend at a bar somewhere, just shooting the breeze. And there's a product that you have that you're so excited about. What would you say to that person? Would you, you know, use this third-person, highfalutin corporate speak, or would you be personable and tell stories about it? You know, hey, this is what happened to me the other day, or guess what happened to me, or whatever. And this is something I think a lot of people are missing in their copy, especially one of the questions I get in the list of questions that we've gotten was, a lot of people say, well, I don't have a story to tell. How do I come up with a story?
Well, you do have a story to tell. You haven't done enough research. There's a story within everything. John's one-legged golfer ad is, you know, he dug for 3 days interviewing those people until one of them mentioned, well, you know, he's only got one leg. And John said, what? This guy's hitting the ball 350 straight yards down the fairway with one, and he's only got one leg, and you didn't think that was important enough to mention? Then the headline became one-legged golfer, you know.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what.
And if you don't have a story, you haven't dug hard enough. And remember this: when Claude Hopkins was asked to do a beer commercial, he couldn't find anything that would distinguish that beer from the others as far as telling the story. But he noted all the precautions they took to make that beer clean and sterile, and he told that story. Now, all the other beer companies did the same thing, but he's the only one that told the story, and he put that beer on the map. There is a story in everything, but you got to dig for it. And you know one thing, what do most copywriters do wrong? They don't work.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't work. You know, they're looking for an easy way, a magic pill, a freebie, you know, blah, blah, blah. You got to put your ass into this. You got to live it. You got to become obsessed by it. But it's worth it.
Well, this is a question I was also asked was, how do you get in the mind of the prospect?
Well, I remember reading that question. And a related question was, how important do you think it is to interview the prospect?
Yes, yes.
Now, the
yes.
person that asked that question should also be beaten. I wish there were a way that we had, you know, I think there are stupid questions. Everybody said no question is stupid, and, you know, if you don't know the answer. I disagree. I think that's a stupid question. But I'm going to give an answer anyway. You get into the mind of your prospect by hanging out with them, by interviewing them, by reading about them, by asking questions about them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You get it by work, and you don't get it by guessing what they're like. And a big mistake everybody makes is they presume that everybody else thinks the way they do about things. And they
exactly.
don't. They don't. They think very, very differently about things. You know, I had an experience yesterday. It was kind of sobering. Sometimes it's difficult to call to my girlfriend in Costa Rica and for her to call me because the phone service is not perfect. So I have a voicemail that there's no phone to the voicemail, but I leave messages for her and she leaves messages for me back and we can't get to each other. And I mistakenly, God, Jesus, I forgot that Sunday was her birthday. God, forgive me. And she had told me, and this is another example of my stupidity, that her birthday was going to be Sunday, but she didn't care about birthdays, you know. Well, Sunday she calls me up. She calls the voicemail, and she's, you know, today is my birthday, and everybody's been calling me to say happy birthday, and all my family and all my friends. But the call I wanted was from my quarter zone, and I call here, and there's no message, because I changed the message to, hi, this is Gary. You know, if you'll leave your name and number, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And she said, and she just called and said, my name is Sirian Piedra. My number is 833-0754. Please call me when you can, on her birthday. Well, that's a little sign that I'd screwed up. So the next, but I hadn't changed the method, even though I went out and bought her some nice birthday things and everything. And she called up, and see, I thought it'd be efficient if I could use that voicemail when people want to call me, because other than email, there's no way to get to me. You know, unless you just magically call me and I happen to be home. It's because I get an average of 600 calls a week. I can't take it. But I thought, you know, it'd be efficient if somebody wanted to know my number, I'd give them that number, you know, for a couple of days. Well, it was efficient. But you know what? I can get another voicemail for $7 a month. And you know what my girlfriend thinks of? That's her voicemail. That's hers. It doesn't matter that I spent hundreds of dollars buying her a gift. It doesn't matter that I had me and my friend Hank sing happy birthday after she bitched about it. That was her email. That was her voicemail. You get it? That was hers.
Mm-hmm.
And here I was using it as a convenient method for other people to leave me messages. So just because I've gotten older doesn't mean I've gotten smarter.
Great, Gary. Thank you. That was awesome. I think one of the things that a lot of people also tend to forget, when, especially when they're writing copy, is you know, there's always a good hook lying somewhere. John Carlton is a big preacher of finding the hook, the one thing.
He's as good as they get at finding them, man.
And the thing that I also tend to do a lot is to not only interview the client or interview the prospect, but at the same time is to get to use the product as much as I possibly can. And a lot of people tend to say, well, I don't think my client's going to do this or my client's going to do that. Kennedy says it best. He says that people have this tendency, this error, to think that they are their own client when they're not. You're never your own client.
Well, first of all, only about half the time do I do a job that people hire me to do. Instead, I do the job they need done. They don't know what job it is they need done. That's why I haven't taken very many questions, because most of the people listening to me don't know the right questions to ask. And that's no sin. Nobody does in the beginning, you know, of anything.
Well, you know, it's a great thing, and I want to stop you, Gary, for a sec, because one of the questions I thought that was stupid for me was, I have a product. How do I sell it? And I almost feel like sending them your newsletter issue about a starving crowd.
Well, you're free to send it to them, but, you know, people think if you're a good enough copywriter, you can sell anything to anybody. Like, and I really cannot sell refrigerators to Eskimos. I can con them. I can lie to them and make them think they're space heaters. But the market is the very most important thing. And another piece of advice I'm going to give, and I want to say a couple things that are really important to get in before this call is over. Every one of you should have the SRDS mailing list book.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it online. You can get it at the library. It's non-circulating. And it tells you about every mailing list available in the United States, tells you how big the list is, how fresh the list is, and what the unit of sale was. Now, there's a big difference between this list and Google AdWords or anything like that, because this isn't a list of what people like or are interested in. It's what they paid for. It's what they will pay for. And even if you're on the net, this is more valuable than any other resource. Actually, you can get this on the net. There's nothing as valuable as that. And I'm going to tell all of you how to tell if you are worthy of the title copywriter. Every one of you. If you can't pass this test, you should never take a dollar from anybody else for writing copy from them. You should go through the SRDS mailing list book and pick out what you think is the hottest list you can find, the list of the hungriest fish out there, And you should conceptualize an information product for that list. And then you should make a mailing to that list to sell that information product. And let me tell you a really cheap way to get an information product. And, you know, this is one thing I learned from Jay Abraham. He's the best guy in the world to brainstorm with. And Jay Abraham taught me how to work with him. I made $750,000 brainstorming with Jay for 30 minutes. Me and John Carlton, with a copy, I went out and mailed 800 letters and made $750,000. The guy is brilliant.
Wow.
But Eric taught me how to work with him. If you're going to ever work with Jay, you get him in a hotel room, you make everybody turn off all the cell phones. By the way, Ron LeGrand says you can guess the person's amount of money in their bank account by how many times their cell phone goes off when you're talking to them. It should never go off. It's an insult. But anyway, you put Jay in the hotel room. You have two big, strong guys in the limo. Go get him. You bring him to the hotel room. You lock the door. You take the phone off the hook. You stop all calls, and you interview him, and you have a tape recorder on. And the first time, Jay says, "Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I've got a letter that explains that back at the office, and I'll mail it to you as soon as I get back." You have the big guys hit him in the mouth a few times. Because what you don't get from Jay in that room, you're not going to get from him. So I don't know what that related to. I was babbling.
No, that's about brainstorming, which is good.
Oh, yeah.
About coming up with a good hook or a good story or you know, when people have a hard time, even coming back to the issue of writer's block, because some people say, well, I don't have either a USP or I don't have a hook, or I'm writing copy for somebody else. What do I do to find that one hook? And I think brainstorming is a good point.
What a lot of you people on this call are doing is you're censoring yourself, figuring the client's not going to like this, his wife's not going to like this, this is not going to get by the regulatory agencies. You have a built-in censor. You got to kill that built-in censor. Just write full out right from the beginning. And the way you get the answers to this thing is you get his product, you get his testimonials, you get all his previous advertisements, all his previous controls, you interview him, you interview his men, you interview the customers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, writing is like the tip of an iceberg. I did a piece for Donna Mills, who was the star of Knots Landing,
mm-hmm.
And she was selling a beauty product for the eyes. And I was out in Santa Monica, California doing it, you know, and I just interviewed her. She was a really sweet lady. And somebody said, "Man, you're really good." They said, "You're fast, too." He said, "How long did it take you to write that ad?" And I said, 33 years and 45 minutes.
Perfect.
And well, that was it. You know, and what you got to do is John has something like, I would like to play the guitar like John Carlton can. He knows every song in the world. He can make the guitar talk. And I tell him, I want to do that. And what's the secret? And he says, when a new guy tells an old hand that plays the guitar, he's taking up the guitar, they ask him two questions, and the first question is a trick question. How many lessons do you take a week? And it doesn't matter what the answer is. And then it says, how many hours do you practice a day? And John says, and it's true, this is the answer to a lot of things, 10,000 hours. And, you know, I sat and figured out, I wrote Winners before I became Gary Halbert. You know, I first found my voice in the mid-1970s, and I had been writing since 1968. And it came out to about 10,000 hours. You better put your 10,000 hours in, because you ain't going to do it otherwise. If you want to write copy like Benzavenga, Halbert, Carlton, Scott Haynes, you know, a few other people, about 10,000 hours from now, if you put it in, you'll have it. And you need to start tomorrow. What you need to do is start with my letters or somebody's letters, and you need to write them out in your own handwriting, and you should do that every working day for the rest of your life, or at least until you got 10,000 hours. See, I don't use templates anymore because they're all embedded in my wiring. But you, most of you are not there yet, and you've got to get that embedded in your wiring.
I think it's a good point to also say that you got to start right away. One of the things I've learned that, well, I wouldn't say I've learned it, but somebody that really hit me in the back of the head with a hammer about it is something John Reese taught me when I was writing copy for him, and actually when I saw him speak at a seminar, was, you know, if you want to learn how to write copy, write anything and put it up on the internet and realize that that is going to be the worst it's ever going to be. Now your job is to improve the sucker.
John's a genius. He's got it exactly right. He's a genius. He's got it exactly right.
Because a lot of people ask me, how do you become a great copywriter like you, Michael? And I would answer, not necessarily the same way you do it, you just did, Gary, but I would say, I'm not really a good copywriter. I'm a fanatical tester, and I've written copy for fanatical testers. And I've been lucky enough and privileged enough to have written copy. I've written copy that sucks, and I've written copy that were winners. But when I write copy for testers, I know what works and I know what doesn't, and I just keep on improving it. And John Reese really hit me in the back of the head with that hammer, because a lot of times, sometimes in that, it comes back to what you were saying about censoring. Sometimes I would write a sales letter, and I would go back and just, you know, pull my hair out because I'm trying to figure out, is there a better way of saying this? Who cares? Put it up. Test the sucker and improve on it. It's the worst it's going to ever be.
Well, I'll tell you what, Michael, you may have made the most important point of the evening. My friend Joaquin De Posada puts it another way pretty succinctly. Anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. And, you know, I used to never want to do anything unless I was already good at it. Well, you're never already good at anything. You know, your first time out the box.
Right.
You know, there was a pro playing in a pro-am tournament, and the amateur said, I'm embarrassed to play with you. And he said, why? He says, because your fairway, you know, your tee shots are straight down the middle. He says, your approach shots from, you know, fairway shots are great. You're great around the green. You're a great putter. And the pro said to him, well, don't you think it would be a little strange after 20 years if I didn't play like this? And the amateur was comparing himself to somebody who had done the 10,000 hours.
Right.
And I want to make what I think is a point of supreme importance. The acceleration of the acceleration is accelerating. That's my way of saying it. There is no way that anybody on this call knows what they're going to be doing 24 hours from now, 5 years from now, 5 months from now, 5 hours from now. You can have a Christopher Reeves moment at any time. You better do what you're going to do right now. In fact, me and Mongo have come up to some, Mongo Scott Haynes, we believe it so strongly that if exercise is your priority or writing copy, you know when you do it? You do it immediately when your feet hit the floor before you even make up your bed. Because the chances are anything you don't do immediately upon getting out of bed, life is going to crowd in on you and you're not going to do it. Well, I'll put off exercising until just after lunch. Well, you know, I'll put it off till dinner. You know, I don't, blah, blah, blah. The only thing that for sure gets done is what you do immediately upon getting out of bed. And another thing I will tell you, and it's about time to conclude this, I think.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you a true story. And not only do you not know where you're going to be, you don't know what strange thing is going to happen to you. And I'm going to tell you about a strange thing that happened to me. And I think it gave me a big advantage over everybody else at a very early age. I was only 20. And I've told this story in seminars, and I once told it, and there was an 85-year-old school teacher in the front row from Alaska. And I thought she might be embarrassed that I was telling the story. But she laughed so hard, I started worrying she was going to have a heart attack right there. And I want to tell you the story. And I want you to know, this could have happened to you. But this really happened to me when I was 20 years old. I was a military policeman. I was in Germany. And I was on patrol duty with another MP. I still remember him. He's a big guy named DeRoy. We got called to the station, and we had to strip off our uniforms and stand in a lineup. And there was a German civilian there. And he... you know, was trying to pick one of us out of the lineup. When this lineup was over, they told everybody to go but me. The German civilian had picked me out of the lineup. Now, let me tell you what happened before that. Because I was a great jokester, and when we stood roll call before we went on duty, just like you see in the police shows, they tell you the criminals to watch out for. This guy raped so-and-so, this guy broke into this convenience store, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there was a guy who broke into a farm, a guy's barn, a farmer's barn, and he sodomized the farmer's cow. The farmer came out and caught him, and he hit the farmer and knocked him down, knocked over the bucket, which knocked over a candle, which started a fire, and then he ran off the property. Now, when you're in the military, all of your clothing, you have your serial number in there. And I had an overseas cap that was too small for me, so I had thrown it away. And the guy who did this was actually wearing my overseas cap. And it fell off, and it was left at the scene. So they already had a predilection to think it was me. Now, my life went in the blink of an eye from being an upstanding, do-right MP to a guy who is under arrest for sodomizing a cow. And I want to tell you how that changed my life. They only allowed me to do two things. I could stand roll call, and I could go to the mess hall to eat. And when I would go to roll call, you know, they would say, Smith, here, Sergeant. Downs, here, Sergeant. Baker, here, Sergeant. They'd say, Halbert. And 600 guys would go, moo, like that. And, you know, I couldn't even imagine that I was in such a situation. I was engaged to a German girl that I later married. Her parents hated me. Can you see me, and this is true, sitting there trying to explain to them why they have to come down to military police station and explain where I was on a certain night because I was under arrest for having sex with a farm animal? That really happened to me. And I had to take a lie detector test. I won't even go into that. But I think you will admit that is a bizarre thing. Now, they caught the guy who did it. He was a Puerto Rican who had stolen my hat. It's a good thing I didn't catch him because I would have killed him, you know? I mean, but that's how bizarre life can turn on a dime. And I learned that at 20 years old. And I've also learned, the future, if you want to make God laugh, tell him about your plan. Tell God about your plan if you want to make him laugh. And the point is, you want to be a great copywriter, and you want to be a great marketer, and you want to achieve all these things. Do it right now. Tomorrow is promised to no man. And if all of you people enjoyed this 2 hours of ranting of a madman, and you want to do it again, we'll do it again.
Thanks, Gary.
As long as somebody sends me their snail mail address.
Well,
if anybody's interested, we'll do this again. If you want to do it in a week or two, I'm up for it. Because maybe I'll even answer questions next time.
Well, I have, just because I mentioned my email for that little call, I've gotten over 200 emails right now waiting for me. I want to thank you, Gary. My God, this has been one of the most the best 2 hours I've ever spent. And, of course, any time with you is just fabulous. And I know that you don't like to be put on a pedestal, but I do look up to you a lot, and I think that this has just been a phenomenal 2 hours. I just want to end.
I would ask you one favor.
Sure.
Don't ever describe me to anyone as being sane.
I told a lot of people that listener discretion is advised whenever I email them out. But I want to thank just one person before we end this call, and it's Peter Stone. Peter,
for sure,
is a person that brought us together, and Peter's also a phenomenal copywriter. He's done some work for me. He's my editor. He's my fresh pair of eyes sometimes when I'm too racked up and I'm writing copy sometimes 5, 10, even 15 sales letters in 1 month. I can't handle the workload. So sometimes he's there to look at my copy and tell me what's wrong, what's not. And I look at it and I said, my God, this man is brilliant. Peter Stone Copy com is his email, his website address. And I want to thank Peter. And Gary, you've been, you're the man. And I want to thank you so much.
I'd be the last to deny it, you know what?
Well, I'm sure you are. And I want to.
And if anybody wants to, they can email me at nosexgary@aol.com and say things like, I really enjoyed your call. Now, if you have negative comments, I don't want to hear them. You know, I just want positive comments. I don't want the truth necessarily. You can email me and lie to me.
Great.
You know, I'd rather have a lie that made me feel good than the truth that made me feel bad, you know? I've got enough to, but I really do try and make my lessons important. I'm very passionate about teaching people, and because there's so much garbage out there. You know, there are people teaching marketing that they've never learned it. They have no right to be teaching it, you know?
Absolutely.
And I know what it's like to be broke, and I've been in a running house with no water and utilities because I spent the money on postage for orders that didn't materialize.
Well, me and John Reese were chatting one day about that because there was a time when we were both, I was bankrupt, and I was literally eating, you know those little packages of ramen noodles?
Yeah.
For 25 cents for a quarter. I lived on that for 6 months. And exactly what you just said, Gary, is that nobody really knows how to market if they haven't gone through the school of hard knocks. So, but this,
somebody find me that cell phone.
Great. Well,
oh, wait. I got one more thing.
Go ahead.
Really kind of important. This will kind of interest some of you. I have a friend. He's a paraplegic named Dave Kekich, and he is a multimillionaire. And Dave Kekich is working with another guy, and they have a piece of software that is really pretty. I'm looking through. I think this is it. I'll tell you what this software does. And I'm not a geek, so the importance of it can be gauged by the other geeks here. It's called IntelliMind. And IntelliMind LLC owns exclusive commercial licenses to technology which searches the Internet globally in 61 languages for individuals with a high level of interest in any subject, product, or service. This technology was developed under federal government contracts with the objective of searching the web for terrorist-related chatter. It has been successfully deployed for several U.S. government agencies for a growing number of commercial enterprises who are finding new prospects and opening new businesses at near zero upfront marketing expense. The IntelliMind data mining technology is designed to bring any selected client in nearly any industry to market dominance. Our test indicates the ability to identify millions of customers worldwide who we can then contact with specific and highly motivational email, and all at virtually no cost. Moreover, the software is intelligent. It continues to refine its searches and continually add email addresses as it gets smarter about the subject it is seeking. We believe this technology can be developed to the point where it reverses the typical web search. Today, a searcher goes to Google, Yahoo, or Ask Jeeves to find information. A typical search uncovers hundreds or even thousands of hits, which must then in turn be researched to uncover information the searcher is seeking. Our knowledge platforms, on the other hand, are well-organized resources, eliminating the need for searching in the current manner and creating exceptional loyalty among our users, who then can be offered products and services in which we have ownership or shared revenue interest. In other words, the technology promises to provide us with a continuous screen of new prospects at near zero crosses, and there's some more about this stuff, but basically, what this stuff does is, Dave was telling me about it today, it scours the Internet and only gives you names of people who are really interested. Here's the rest of it, real quickly. Only represents the biggest expertise. An important aspect of our strategy is to build the most comprehensive knowledge portal about most products and services available anywhere. A knowledge portal essentially combines all information, communication, sources, and resources available to any subject to people who want information slash knowledge on that subject. For example, we will provide chat rooms, forums, libraries, downloadable videos, products, discounts on related travel, calendars of upcoming events, unique resources relating specifically to the particular product or service, and more. This resource alone, modified after huge knowledge portals already constructed by our licensor, will provide a unique resource for customers and prospects and should instill great confidence in your company and its industry community worldwide. Unlike current search engines, our technology organizes all important information in one environment and then searches the web for parties interested in that subject, who are then invited to join a community of parties with their common interests. Our knowledge platforms are well organized resources and eliminates the need for searching in the current manner. By providing rich content, we believe we will create exceptional loyalty among our users, who can then be offered products and services in which we have ownership and shared revenue interests. Our data mining technology, according to its developers, is at least 10 times more powerful and much more targeted than any similar technology while complying with spam issues. The developers also believe they have a long way to go in terms of improving what already exists, so we can look forward to an exclusive commercial licensee to breakthrough advancements without investing our capital in its development. Our license covers all future improvements and advances to the $40 million technology. They spent $40 million on this, which is under constant upgrading and refinement by its developer through tens of millions of dollars worth of ongoing contacts with U.S. agencies. Now, I don't know if you guys all understood that, but as I understand it, they say they've done this, and they've emailed some of the producers of it, and they've never had an opt-out person yet, because it goes through and discovers the people that are interested in exactly the subject that you are selling. But anyhow, if you want to call this guy, and again, I'm not involved in this. This is not a joint venture for me or nothing. It's just something a little bit geeky I'd pass along so you guys wouldn't think I'm just a Stone Age guy. It's David A. Kekich, K-E-K-I-C-H. His telephone number is 310-265-8644. And for all you geeks who would rather, you know, do things without actually pressing the flesh or communicating with people, it's Kekich, K-E-K-I-C-H, at Transvio, TRANSVIO.com, and the website is www.transvio, TRANSVIO.com. Tell them Gary Halbert sent you. You don't have to tell them Gary Halbert sent you, but it seems to be somebody should find out what that's all about. Somebody should find me a telephone that doesn't do anything except send and receive calls, and all of you should who want to triple the profits of your website almost immediately should send me your snail mail address. That's all I have to say for the night.
Thanks, Gary. That was awesome. I'm going to leave on this note because we are past our two-hour mark, so thank you, everybody, for being on the call tonight. And Gary, thank you so much for sharing this
and
amazing.
And have somebody send me a note to nosexgaryatol.com and say, boy, you were great on that call last night or something. You know, anything but a neat shit and die message.
Well, I don't want to have any emails asking me why is Gary's email address is nosexgary@AOL, because I know the story and I don't want to tell it.
Should I tell that? Or
No. Actually, if there's a lot of interest, we'll probably do this again, Gary.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Good night, people.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.